President Glassner, commencement speaker, faculty, staff, distinguished guests, family, friends, my fellow classmates. My name is Lincoln Boyd. I'm a Roman Catholic Republican, soon-to-be teacher from a cherry orchard just outside of the Bay Area in California. I am your typical Lewis and Clark student. Some of you are scratching your head. Typical Lewis and Clark student. Come on. Republican, Catholic, well, sure, maybe California. But I am, I promise. And I intend to show you in the next few moments. Like many of you sitting here today, I'd never heard of Lewis and Clark 5 years ago. I was planning on attending Santa Clara University, the school that produced former Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta and the governor of my home state, Jerry Brown. And I thought I was going to bask in the warmth of the California sun and live in the cutting-edge Silicon Valley. After being accepted into Santa Clara, the financial reality set in. I'm the oldest of five kids. In the Boyd house, college is the expectation. So that meant my four siblings also had to attend college. You do the math. One afternoon, my father and I drove about an hour and a half to Santa Clara to appeal for additional financial assistance. But fate had other plans. I remember driving home after the appeal and thinking of a deal that I had made once before. I was 16, and my father told me that if I received a 4.0 on my next report card, he'd give me any car I wanted. Telling a 16-year-old boy they could get whatever they wanted with a 4.0 was quite a motivational force. However, I'm not the proud owner of a 1967 Shelby Hertz Mustang, despite receiving a 4.0. Instead, I was told, "Congrats on the 4.0, Link. Now one day you'll be able to get a Mustang." At that time, I did not find those words to be amusing, but have since found these words to be quite profound. He probably doesn't even remember telling me that. Didn't I do everything I was supposed to do to earn these? Didn't I earn Santa Clara, or I earned that Mustang? So what was I going to do for college? I knew I wanted to challenge my religious convictions. I attended Catholic schools my whole life. And I wanted to test and ossify my political philosophy, which I inherited from my parents and my grandfather, who passed away this past week. I wanted to take the next step in life, but I was uncertain in which way to step. Portland, Oregon. Lewis and Clark College. One of the top Birkenstock-wearing, tree-hugging, vegan, hippie, liberal, least religious schools in the country. It was perfect. However, embarking on this new endeavor was daunting, and my thoughts were saddled with the fear of the unknown. Will I be accepted by other students? Will I get along with my professors? Will I stick around for all 4 years? Can I do this? I'm sure many of you experience these exact thoughts in some capacity. Sure enough, before I could even fully wrap my mind around my decision, my first week at Lewis and Clark began, and it was not pretty. Some of you may know this, but I showed up to Lewis and Clark day one with a huge gash across my neck because of an unsuccessful attempt at trying to jump a fence. My right foot was bright pink and doubled in size due to a double staph infection from cutting my foot on coral reef and then letting my cousin's dog, Buck, lick it clean. And then I was covered in red dots because a doctor gave me the wrong medication, causing a dramatic allergic reaction, and the doctor proceeded to tell me that I had to remain quarantined in my dorm room for my first week of college. Week one, and I thought being a Catholic Republican was going to make it hard to find friends. So despite being a Catholic Republican, quarantine loner with a mutated foot and a gnarly scar, opportunities presented themselves. But these experiences shed light on an important fact of fate. The odds are not in your favor, and they never were. Things will always undoubtedly go wrong. During our time at Lewis and Clark, we failed tests. We didn't get that paper in on time. We didn't find our best friends immediately. We got in trouble. We drank too much. We ran from campus safety officers when we were about to get written up, or maybe that was just me. We had our hearts broken when our classmates passed away. And we doubted this place, and we doubted ourselves. But when things started to go wrong, we did not go with them. We persevered, not because this was the easy thing to do, but because it was the road less traveled. We kept going in the direction of our passions. We crafted our Lewis and Clark experience despite the obstacles. We were not deterred by fear to test our boundaries through ongoing exploration. And because of this, we will be able to hand on to successive generations the tools and discoveries of this quest. This college, Lewis and Clark, this city of Portland, this country, were built by not those who waited. They were built and will continue to be built by those who wish to move forward. And we, the students and graduates of Lewis and Clark, alongside those who pursue the betterment of mankind and the advancement of knowledge, will stop at nothing. That is the type of person Lewis and Clark attracts, and that is who we are. No matter where you come from, what you believe, what you look like, and where you are at mentally or physically, we recognize that we are given a chance to become what we will ourselves to be. We understand that personal growth and learning are the product of how we choose to respond to the difficult times that life will put us through. We understand that it is through this process that we will unleash the potential and beauty of living and living well. And it is because of this process that we are sitting here today with a cap on our head and a gown on our bodies. I am your typical Lewis and Clark student, but there's nothing typical about me, nor is there anything typical about my peers or those who came before us. You are Lewis and Clark, I am Lewis and Clark, and we are Lewis and Clark. But we must not turn a blind eye to the role of fortune in this process. Many are not with us today, not because they weren't up to the challenge of Lewis and Clark, but because Lewis and Clark became too expensive, because life was cut short, because they never had a chance to attend a class on the Hill. I have a poster of President John F. Kennedy in my room that reads, "Of those to whom much is given, much is required." And for those of you who know me, you understand that it would be a travesty if I were to give a public address without paying homage to our beloved 35th president. In a proclamation given on July 25th, 1961, President Kennedy said, "Let us think of education as the means of developing our greatest abilities, because in each of us, there's a private hope and dream which, fulfilled, can be translated into benefit for everyone and greater strength for our nation." Education is not finite. There's not a specific number of books you must read or tests you must pass. All of life, from the moment you were brought into this world to your last breath, is a process of learning. Education is not finite. And we must understand that our capacity to change the world around us is not finite, so long as we commit ourselves to the pursuit of testing boundaries through ongoing exploration. So let us continue to build our knowledge and talents, and use our knowledge and talents to engage in the complexities of the world and the ignorance that plagues it. Let us not be quick to divide one another based on our differences or our own selfish pursuits, but let us direct our attention to our common interests and to the means by which those can be resolved for the betterment of all. We will be hindered from time to time, but we will be prepared because we have been challenged before and we have overcome, confident and unafraid. As we depart, let us retread our optimism, band together with new communities of scholars, vigorously engaged in learning, teaching, and creative inquiry, and see what transpires. All of this while promising to ourselves to live in the words of St. Francis de Sales, to be who you are and be that well.